Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2. Your second line simplified.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. We are back at the appropriate time. We are moving mountains to give you guys the Gilcast on Sunday night. I've had a tumultuous day. I'm not in my cave, right? I wasn't at my command station all day. And buddy, is it gonna show when we start talking about these teams? I made a minimum of three decisions that I just really, really wish that I could have back. But I'm here with Nate. I'm here with Sammy. Guys, if you didn't play Puka Nacua, find a new hobby. I think Nate didn't play Puka and still won, but Nate still needs to find a new hobby
Nate's lineup was dog shit, bro. Like, I mean, unbelievable how this guy just gets there every single time. It's just like, Nate, I don't know how you do it. You're such a freaking sunrunner. It's unbelievable.
Sammy, sometimes it's a little bit more of a feel thing.
It's just a little bit. It's a little bit
it's
more.
It's a little bit. You got to have a little bit of, yeah. You got to
God,
have
I mean, earlier you said you were going to play Josh Jacobs, and so I was waiting
I know,
for you.
I had a 2v2 that I'm really glad I did.
I'm checking the box scores and I see Josh Jacobs -3 yards rushing. And I'm like, I swear to God, when I check the DK app, I need to see Nate having played Josh Jacobs. I was so disappointed you didn't.
God.
Yeah. I did have Jacobs like all morning. And then I did a 2v2. I had Jacobs and Chase, and then I swapped Jacobs and Chase for CMC and Debo. And that was a good move.
Anytime you can play the two 49ers to guys together in cash without Puka Nacua, I think you absolutely have to do it. I mean, look, I'm talking shit, but my team stunk. Before we get into the specific plays, I mean, did you guys find this to be a pretty difficult week? Like, there just wasn't really a ton of smashes. The guys who were the most owned in cash, AJ Dillon and Josh Kelly, no one really felt that good about clicking Josh Kelly. I don't think. I just think everyone just sort of tossed their hands up and was like, whatever. I really did not want to play Rashad White, who Nate played. He ends up with a fine game. I mean, the rushing touchdown and the 5 receptions, which I guess is the thesis.
Wait, he smashed. He smashed.
Yeah, he smashed.
Yeah, imagine playing.
I really did not want to play Rashad White, so I didn't want to call him a smash, but he was.
Buddy, imagine playing AJ Dillon, that second incarnation of Eddie Lacy's fat ass, instead of Rashad White, which I did, by the way.
I mean, Nate played 3 Packers in a game that projected to have like 74 total plays run, and he just got there. No
Nate,
problem.
You're so bad, dude. Unbelievable.
Okay, I played 2, and they were both like basically min price. So I didn't play AJ Dillon. That was the move.
Here's the thing. This is how I can tell if someone knows ball. Someone knows ball if they play Dalton Kincaid over Luke Musgrave. If you played Luke Musgrave over Kincaid, you do not know ball. You just don't know ball.
Okay.
You don't know ball.
This is a bad take. So number one, Luke Musgrave led all Packers in routes run last week. All Packers, pass catchers. You have the guy.
Buddy, that's like winning. That's like winning the 100-meter at the Special Olympics. Like, what? Who cares?
He's a rookie, and he has that usage. It's insane. And then you take the fact that Aaron Jones is out. He's the only guy in the center of the field with Jordan Love. He was going to get so many targets. This was, I think you were overthinking it and fancy play syndrome if you were trying to get on Dalton Kincaid over Musgrave.
Nate, you don't know it.
Musgrave was the play in cash. The tight end two of the Buffalo Bills.
No, I played the wide receiver three. I played the wide receiver three on the Buffalo Bills.
Behind Dusty Dawson.
I mean, Dawson Knox almost ended the freaking slate, dude. Dawson Knox almost had two touchdowns. He was almost the highest scoring tight end of the whole slate.
Nate, you're lucky that Kincaid didn't give you the blade with a touchdown. You're lucky Dawson Knox sucked out on him. So unbelievably lucky.
Musgrave was a good play.
He was fine. He was fine. But if you had the $100 in your lineup, and you played Musgrave, you literally do not know ball. All you know is computers. You don't know ball.
Yeah, congrats on your three targets, Nate. I'm sure you're real happy.
Correct.
Sorry, just refreshing on my DraftKings account, making sure that it says full.
Okay. All right.
If you guys looking.
I'll eat the shit. My team was terrible. This was the team that I played in a lot of action, and just this was a negative four-figure day. In DFS, it is what it is. I played Josh Allen at quarterback. I played AJ Dillon and Joshua Kelly at running back. I played Devontae Adams. He was, if we're using the Levitan verbiage, he was actually the only must-have, I thought, of the whole slate. I thought he was the only guy where if you don't flip over Devontae Adams, I don't respect you, and I will send you invites to games in the future because you're bad. Calvin Ridley, Deebo Samuel. Deebo, I waffled on versus Montgomery quite a bit. That was probably the spots I felt least uncertain about were Dylan and Deebo and quarterback. Then I played Kincaid over Musgrave at tight end, Sammy, because I know ball. I know ball. Now fancy my original play. My original lineup, of course, had Puka Nacua as my flex play. Obviously, as you can tell, I'm going through this lineup. I have nothing but dog shit. I literally the lineups are turning over, and I have got Josh Allen, who is like fine, but clearly not like a winning play. Like it was like he wouldn't have prevented you from winning, but he wouldn't have helped you win either. I had a snowflake from Dylan, a snowflake from Kelly, a snowflake from Ridley, and I had Deebo, Dotson, or I had Deebo. That's who I ended up swapping to. But I had Deebo, Puka Nacua, and the Cardinals defense left. And I thought about maybe just swapping to 2-2 for like the direct leverage, but I didn't really need leverage because I didn't think Nacua was going to be like giga chalk. I was also mostly in head to head. So I was trying to avoid like 1v1ing for the remainder of those spots or defense flex 2v2ing. So I played Dotson. Obviously Dotson was a terrible play. And I probably should not have swapped. And in fact, had I kept Nacua, I think I would have cashed in the massive $50 double up by like 0.8 points. And Nate and I were just doing the math before we got on. But this is a dog shit lineup. I played bad. This was not a good effort by me. There are only two things about this lineup that are good. One, that I played Devontae Adams and I'm not that dumb. I at least am higher than 40 IQ, and that I played Musgrave over that I played Kincaid over Musgrave. So those are the only two signals of ball knowing, but
yeah, it is tough to put together a lineup like this and then also make the bad swap.
It is. So this is what I did wrong. Total fear-based decision-making on Rashad White. Nothing but fear, nothing about the matchup, nothing about the projected role. Nothing indicated that he was a bad play. Really nothing. It was simply that he was so bad last week. And I also think he's pretty bad in general. And I think AJ Dillon is good, despite just a mountain of evidence that AJ Dillon is not good. Just a pile.
We so badly want AJ Dillon to be a thing.
Badly.
Look at those quads, but he isn't.
He's not good.
He has never shown himself to be an efficient runner at the NFL level. And he doesn't do what we think he should do. And so why are we putting real American dollars behind him when he's priced up?
The other thing was that he still does get work in the passing game, even when Aaron Jones is active. So that was sort of, but really I'm just psyoping myself at this point.
Yeah, it was Rashad White.
Rashad White was the clear play over AJ Dillon. That was bad.
Yep.
I'm pretty fine with the Ridley thing. Completely. It's just, you know,
The thing on this slate is I thought that the higher priced wide receivers were underpriced.
Yes.
Right. And so it just made so much sense to save it running back and then jam in these 7K, these 7-ish K wide receivers and get a bunch of value there. Like that was obviously the move. And then it really just came to, because each of these sections, both running back in the 5K and receiver in the 7K, had a multitude of options. So it really came down to not construction per se, but like, how are you actually going to do it?
These are actually the slates that are harder and more rake flipping when it is really just like you're okay, my Jamar Chase versus your Travis Kelce or whatever, where it's like it was hard, I think, to build really good teams in this slate. I think everyone who played their team had two spots that they kind of didn't like, but it was also hard to build really bad teams. You would have had to have gone pretty far off the reservation to build bad teams. Nate tried.
I mean, you played Christian McCaffrey, so talk about Nate's lineup, because Nate played CMC, which was like, I mean, I think CMC played every snap. I mean,
CMC's usage, guys, is legit out of this world.
Yeah. So like, I will say this, Nate, even though you didn't go with the chalk construction that kind of provided so much value, the reality is if Christian McCaffrey is not getting cucked by Elijah Mitchell, and he's not, we saw it in week one,
he's underpriced.
And definitely saw it, he is the best fantasy player and it's not even close. So for you to get him in there, I thought frankly was kind of sharp. The rest of your lineup was ass and you did a lot of crazy things, but that was,
I mean,
really
Musgrave not. And Jaden Reed together, dude, you deserve the blade. Puka Nacua. You won, Nate, but you do not know ball. You do not know.
Okay.
Ball.
So let's go through the lineup. I mean, so I played Josh Allen, Rashad White, Kelly, Debo Samuel, Devonta Adams, Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrave, Christian McCaffrey, and then Falcons D, whatever about defense. But so the main positions that I knew what I wanted to do, I knew I wanted Josh Allen. I knew I wanted Rashad White over AJ Dillon. I knew I was playing Devonta Adams. And then I knew I was playing Josh Kelly, Luke Musgrave, and Jaden Reed. I felt really good about those values. Everything else was up in the air. And so I think before lock, the team that I had the most this morning was Josh Jacobs and Jamar Chase, paying up for Jamar Chase and paying up for Jacob. The more I was looking at that team, the more I didn't like paying up for Josh Jacobs in this spot. And I had to find a different running back. And CMC is just off the charts from a value standpoint right now. Like there's no one else getting that workload. I looked very hard at Tony Pollard.
You want to talk about no one else getting that workload. How about 33 touches for one Mr. Tony Pollard?
I know. But like there was a weird
just got there on Prize Picks, by the way. I had a lot of Pollard. He got there 68 and a half rush yards. Thank you, McCarthy.
It was a weird week because I didn't feel great about, except for I thought Rashad White was like my favorite of the value running backs. I even felt better about Rashad White than I knew I was going to play Kelly.
Yeah, I mean the sharpest people just played Rashad White. They said I don't care about the negative rush yards under expectation or any of that stuff. It was just basically just, you know, good role. I mean he was AJ Dillon except in a game that actually projected to have some plays, you know, which is like, well, except then you played Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave in a game projected to have absolutely no plays. So why are you playing Luke Musgrave?
Basically minimum.
Why were you playing Musgrave over Kincaid?
At the pricing, they're basically minimum. Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave for their volume at that price, that to me was like a no-brainer.
And how does Nate, you of all people, how do you show up with no Puka Nacua? I mean, the Whopper God. No one could possibly have a better Whopper in the NFL than Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua was priced up. Puka Nacua was at 4,900. He had like the highest pricing increase.
Yeah, you would have had to have played a 7K wide receiver. You would have had to have played Ridley. You would have had to have played Ridley over McCaffrey.
I would have had it. Yeah. And I'm not saying Puka was a bad play, but I'm just saying like one, like Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave, we're talking about them like they're these 5K guys, except they were 3K. Like Puka was priced way up. I mean, he was in a different tier. Like, there was nobody around Jaden Reed.
He was a lock, though. Nacua was a lock.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, Nakua was a great play. I'm not saying he
wasn't. And here's the thing. So I played a lot of Jaden Reed in tournaments because I thought he was a very good play for the reasons you did. I thought that he was great leverage off of Dylan, who was going to be widely owned, and Musgrave. Like, he was a nutty tournament play. So I don't want to like hate too hard on you playing him in cash, but it's just like, to play two Packers in this slate, it's like, just pick one. Like, they are not going to score a lot of points. This game was ass. Like, you got to get out of there.
No, I mean, Jaden Reed was in a tier all by himself. There was nobody priced to him close that had the same volume. I mean, he should have been 4,700 in the slate. He should have been. He should have been the same price as Zay Jones. And then I maybe wouldn't have played both Packers. But Jaden Reed was the easiest misprice on the slate.
I mean, Puka Nacua should have been whatever Cooper Kupp's salary is. I mean, Nacua should be.
I mean, Puka Nacua did outscore Christian McCaffrey, so he should have been about 9,100.
Yeah. The no Puka hurts. But, yeah, I think you guys are missing the whole, like, how blatantly mispriced Jaden Reed was for this volume.
But you can only play so many wide receivers. And after Adams, Nacua was the second best one, I think. I mean, I obviously it's an inexact science, and if I had all the answers before Locke, I probably would not have played AJ Dillon or Calvin Ridley. I mean, I don't know.
Ridley was a good play, man.
Ridley was a good play.
Yeah, he was fine. I'm not sweating that. The plays that I feel bad about, and it's hard to feel bad
okay,
about.
Okay, let's get to Sammy's construction. Sammy rolled out something I had never
yeah, Sammy,
built
let's go through what you have.
Sammy
yeah,
played Keenan
boys,
Allen.
I've been waiting.
Completely.
Yeah, I've been
Sammy,
waiting.
Sammy went off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, well, Sammy just plays alphas in his lineup. So, of course, I was not a coward like last week, and I did play Anthony Richardson. Nate only beat me by a handful of points because Anthony Richardson went out in the second quarter.
Self-reported concussion symptoms.
Yeah, you were going to get dunked on by my lineup with your ass lineup, man. Like, Anthony Richardson. Then I did the like mentally weak thing where I played Kelly and AJ Dillon. Didn't like either of them. You know, I think Montgomery projected really well. I don't necessarily think I would have played Montgomery over those guys because he doesn't really have a receiving role. But I think
he was pretty popular. None of us had him, but he was pretty popular in cash.
Yeah, he projected as a good value. I mean, you know, I won't belabor the Rashad White stuff. But I honestly felt terrible about Kelly. Like, I played him in no tournaments because exactly what happened.
See, I did play him in a bunch of tournaments. I thought that
fish.
This is what I did that was so stupid was I just bought in so much to what he did last week, where it was the first time that he matched Eckler in routes last week. Now, obviously, I think we can look back on that and say it was because Eckler was playing with this ankle injury that caused him to not play this week. And then also, I mean, it just feels like the Chargers offense can buoy up anyone right now, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of what I felt.
No, it does. But I mean, I don't know how many targets Kelly had last week. He had one and he didn't catch it. There was such a large chance that Kelly had like 11 rushes and zero targets in this game, you know, and that's like kind of what happened. I don't know what he ended with, but like,
I actually think he got like 18 touches, but he just did nothing with them.
Yeah. I mean, he sucks and we have a really wide,
quite a sample.
Right. And
about
secondly,
the same sample that we have on AJ Dillon.
Yeah. I mean, true. So I played those two cuck boys. And then I went four wide receivers. I went Devontae Adams. I went Calvin Ridley. I went Puka Nacua because, you know, like, why would you not take a guy who outscores Christian McCaffrey for under 5K? And then I played the alpha Keenan Allen. And
so
that was
you
just...
used, so the what you did was you used the salary from Josh Allen to Anthony Richardson to get from that 5,800 Debo Devont spot to Keenan Allen.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I didn't like, you know, originally I was going to play like DeMont or somebody like that in that spot.
Jacobs, I would have really struggled to play Keenan Allen over Jacobs.
No.
The Josh Jacobs projections were bad, in my opinion. He was in optimals. Jacobs was in optimals.
No, he was.
Jacobs
he
at
was.
7,100 to me in cash in this spot was a better play than Keenan Allen.
I just, you know, this spot for the Chargers where, you know, they're against a legitimate, I think there's very legitimate run funnels and pass funnels.
Sure.
And I think the Titans are actually one. And I just felt like Keenan Allen was going to get peppered in this game. And he did. You know, sometimes you just got to jam in alphas.
What defense did you have? Alpha.
I played the Cardinals defense and I played, you know, to pay. I paid down for them. Obviously, I would have liked Tampa. I mean, the real move was to not play Dylan, to go down to, you know, White and then White. Play Tampa and just like smash the entire slate, even when my quarterback gets hurt.
Yeah, if you're making decisions like that around defense, defense should be like one of the last things you consider.
Well, especially there wasn't like a big chalk option. Like the highest owned defense this week in the massive $50 double up was the Cardinals at 21%, then the Raiders because people didn't have the money.
Yeah, but like, dude, Justin Fields is less incompetent, bro. Like, he can't do it. It's big dust. And you should just be playing a lot of defenses against him. So that was the move. And the thing is, no, you shouldn't be, you know, compromising your lineup for defense. But the reality is if you can get White, you know what I mean? And White's like either the same play or maybe better, and you can get a better defense with it, like, just should have done that. So that was something that I regret. And then, of course, I played Kincaid over Musgrave because I know ball, and I did not want to Packers in my lineup because, yeah, not a dunce. So Nate ended up scoring 142.06. Congratulations, Nate. I scored 135.04. Nate, again, you're very lucky that Anthony Richardson didn't hang a 40 burger and dunk all over you. And Davis, after your swaps, I mean, you're lucky to break 100. So congrats on that.
Yeah, it was brutal. 101.42.
So give me, I mean, Davis, give me your Keenan Allen take, because I know that Nate is not.
I never.
And I'm surprised, Nate. I'm surprised you don't like this. Keenan Allen is your boy. Like, this is your type of play. You throw a couple condoms on, you strap it up, and you say this guy's going to get like 8 to 12 targets in a game where they're going to be throwing a lot, and things are going to go great.
If I wasn't playing Allen, I actually would have played Dimes, and I would have gotten up to Chase, I think.
To me, Chase was actually like, if there was a guy that I probably had misprojected, it was Chase. Chase, to me, I had almost projected on par with Devontae. I had Devontae 1A and Chase like 1B from like a, I missed on the Chase thing. I almost had.
Well, he was. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the guys who were really chalk and cash that we didn't play. Massive $50 double up. Chase, 38%. None of us have him. Stephon Diggs, 27%. None of us had him. David Montgomery, who we just talked about. I mean, I just decided Debo was better. I just was like, I would rather have
what
Debo.
What was Amon-Ra? Because
he was Amon-Ra. Amon-Ra was 18%, 15.07% of people knew ball and played Kincaid. And then a massive victory for our friends. I believe Josh Reynolds was in the Establish the Run Optimal. And so, but most people said, I know better, and did not play Josh Reynolds in his 23.6 DraftKings points. He was only 14% owned.
That's actually higher than I'd think.
I don't have all this stuff in front of me. I'm traveling, so I'm just going off of what I remember from this morning, but I'm pretty sure he was in the Raw Establish the Run Optimal.
So I guess the interesting thing is how quickly the field adapted to Calvin Ridley, wide receiver one in Jacksonville. Like, I mean, people just are.
Well, there. I mean, it was happening in best ball drafts over the summer. It was adapted. He was going in the fourth, and by the end of the season, he was going second round.
Yeah.
People knew. Davis posted that one clip of him running that rep, and, you know,
I went from not taking him in best ball to watching that route and being like, I like literally got to do more drafts just to get this guy in.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys feel any different after this week of Christian Kirk kind of getting the usage?
No, I think the way to view that is just that Jacksonville's offense didn't work today. Cause I think anytime you have 11 for 110 yards to Christian Kirk, it means your offense didn't work. Right. Like that. I think that's the takeaway.
No, I actually think this was intentional this week. I think Kirk is going to be a thorn in Ridley's side. And I think Ridley at this price tag is not the same as these other guys. I mean, Ridley is the same price tier as like Jamar Chase, Devontae Adams, Amon-Ra.
Well, yeah, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for the Cincinnati Bengals to start their 2023 season. The Bengals, like, I know T. Higgins ended up having a decent game, but this was Burrow's final stat line. 41 passing attempts, 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, interception, and a sack. Joe Mixon barely, like, they just look like shit. The Bengals, I mean, just looked bad.
T had like 12 targets and they were all like high value. Like
I mean, that's the thing with T is that's, I mean, so why we never play T in cash is because T Higgins is just fancy Mike Williams.
Real fancy. Cause I played a lot of Mike Williams in tournaments. He didn't do as good as T Higgins.
T is better.
T is a very good wide receiver. Mike Williams just has like a physical body that like allows him to be sloppy. Like, significantly better than
Michael. So here's the thing. Calvin Ridley still got his 8 targets. You know, he still got his 20%.
But I'm just saying who he's priced around. He was immediately priced up into the Amon-Ra tier.
I went into this slate when I was looking at prices last week. I thought I would play Sam Brown. I'm sort of surprised that I ended up without him.
Wait, who? Oh, Amon-Ra.
I kind of thought he would be a lock.
Yeah. Yeah, he just kind of got glossed over.
Well, he was more expensive than Ridley, and Adams was just clearly the better play. So it was just kind of the money didn't work out right.
Yeah, I mean, so none of us played Chase, or did you?
No, none of us. I was so close.
So I think that's interesting because he was what, 38%?
Yeah, Davis? He was really chalk.
Yeah, so none of us
played him over Ridley, and then some people played him in flex with Reed and Musgrave.
Yeah, so I mean, my feeling about it just was like, obviously, Ja'Marr Chase is a complete dog. I mean, yeah, he's a second overall pick in fantasy drafts. We know he's great. That game was so bad last week that I was like, you know,
You got shook.
I wasn't shook. It wasn't that I didn't like Chase. It was just that, like, I didn't feel like I just had to have him. It wasn't like, oh, I must get this man in my lineup. Like, I thought he was a good play. I just didn't have to have it.
One other wide receiver that I considered that I didn't end up playing that I thought was sharp. I saw a couple of people playing was Nico.
Yeah.
Consider Nico at all?
I wouldn't have played him in cash, but I thought he was a really good tournament play. I actually, for about 3 minutes this morning, I had Tank Dell in my cash shell. I played him a bunch in tournaments because Short King Summer continues. But I did not have the stones to play Tank Dell in cash.
Yeah, I didn't play any Nico. I should have. I'm a big Nico fan, and I have seasonal exposure. His receptions prop on Prize Picks, Nate, was only 3.5. Easy smash. Did really well on that, had some exposure, but like, I don't know. I just never fit him into any lineups. And buddy, he was one of the best plays of the slate. I mean, he crushed.
The Texans are just going to have crazy pass volume because they're just letting Stroud go. Like when they're down, they're like, whatever, we don't care. Like it is not an Atlanta Falcons situation. Let's see. So they were down pretty much this entire game and Stroud threw 47 passes, 9 targets for Collins, 9 targets for Woods, a 10 for Dell, 7 for Dalton Schultz. Like they're just letting him spin it.
Love this. Our Houston Texans, America's team.
It is good.
Okay. So the only other question I would have had is like, looking back, is it just hindsight, the Kelly thing? I mean, we had to play Kelly, right? Like,
I think it is a little bit. Dylan is the one where you can say like that game was low paced. There was a chance that game was done in 90 minutes, you know, that just like each team ran the ball and it just was like over. And we have questions about his talent and the Packers, like, we don't know how good they are, but like the Chargers had this crazy team total. Kelly was getting the goal line carries last week, even if he's not efficient.
He was Jamal Williams of last week, essentially. He's just like too cheap and had the role. And you're like, don't play him in tournaments because you just know deep in your heart he's not going to do anything. He's not going to smash. And, you know, that's, well, Davis, I mean, you played him in tournaments.
I played him. I'm about to go over a Kelly lineup here.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't play him. I didn't play him in like every lineup I made, but I played him a little bit because I just hated running back so much this week. And I was like, whatever, you know, he's 5K.
Yeah.
All right. So And I guess the swap, so I did, I swapped Nacua to Dotson. Obviously, if I would, also if I would have, I just was not paying close enough attention. If I would have realized Nacua was closer to 30% than 50%, I would have just let it ride. I would have just been like, whatever, you know, I'll just take what I get. It was a bad swap. Sometimes you make a good swap, like you swap Jaden Reed over Marvin Mims and you get a good swap. By the way, Marvin Mims with the delayed result of the 2 for 112 and 1, although I believe he only ran like 6 routes or something. He just happened to get open on his 6 routes.
Jaden Reed too.
No, Jaden Reed didn't run 6 routes. Jaden Reed was out there the whole time.
No, I mean Jaden Reed with the delayed smash.
Yeah, the delayed smash. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this, like the lower you got, like I'm looking at this giant $10 double up, and Nacua was only 20% in that. So yeah. the lower buy-ins you go, the less you see Nacua.
Yeah. I'm a giant dumbass, and I should have just kept him. Cool. All right. This is the team that I played in the big $100 spy. Lamar Jackson at 3%. I'm like, you know, I'm doing windmills. I paired him with Mark Andrews. 3.2% Mark Andrews against the Cincinnati Bengals.
And they connected for a tutty.
So I'm rolling. I'm feeling great, right? Who is my bring back? Not T. Higgins. Jamar Chase. Not good. Who did I play as my chalk guy in this lineup? Calvin Ridley instead of Davante Adams. Not good. I really, really like Jahmyr Gibbs today. I was like, okay, my thought process was, all right, you're on the road against the defending champs. Sure. You play Montgomery in that spot. Now you have a home game to the Seattle Seahawks, who looked terrible last week. Let's let the rook get some touches. Let's throw the ball to the rookie. You know, let's do all this. 10% owned. You tell me he's 10% owned. I feel equally as good about the play. I thought that was right about appropriate. He was fine, but he was kind of fine because he was aided by Montgomery getting out. He had 7 receptions, so that's kind of the role you expect from him, but no touchdowns yet. I did play Josh Kelly in this lineup. I think with the combined Lamar, Mark Andrews, 3% owned, I feel totally fine about playing a chalk running back there. This lineup also had Tank Dell at 4% owned. So again, I'm not really sweating the chalk in this lineup. And then I did a double tight end. I did double tight end a little bit in tournaments, and I used Kincaid in this lineup, who was 14% owned. I mean, you show me that game, you show me the Josh Allen pass attempts, and I'm like playing more Kincaid. I'm like locking Dalton Kincaid. Like the Kincaid.
Yo, dude, let me just tell you, double tight end took down the Millie Maker like 2 years ago. And that's probably what you have in your head, because double tight end never wins.
No. So this is why I liked it this week. Pricing was tight.
Consider Kincaid a wide receiver.
Yeah. Also, I do. Kincaid. I don't have the Nathan Yonke stuff. It's not posted yet. This is my guess for Kincaid. My guess is going to be he blocked 11 times, but had 72% route participation. I'm going to guess he had more raw routes than Jaden Reed did. I'm going to guess that. And I feel pretty good about that guess.
Well, we do like that. Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis had 7 targets apiece, and Dalton Kincaid had 6.
Yeah, and then Commanders defense 2% owned. They, you know, like whatever. I obviously the Tank Dell play. I thought I was trying to get more of him in. I did like the double tight end stuff this week. Kelly, not the sharpest play I've ever. I mean, this team didn't make any.
Well,
money.
Here's the real thing that we need to talk about that jives right with this Kelly stuff is we got the report right before lock that Cam Akers is big dust.
So
right?
my best team was a Kyren Williams team, but it's not nearly as fun to go over your teams that make money. Actually.
No, I only had those this week, so I'm going to have to do that. But I struggled to get Kyren Williams in my lineups because the way that I was differentiating in tournaments was to not pay at that 5K price
point. Not
have
a 5K running back.
Right. So that's how I like built my tournaments. And I mean, my house was a mess this morning. I have 2 kids because that's how it is. But, you know, like I saw this news and I texted you guys and I'm like, holy shit. And I was looking for spots to try to get Kyren Williams in and I never really found one. But this is one of those rare opportunities, not to quote DC here, but I mean, he was right. He tweeted this. This was one of the rarest opportunities in the NFL to get legitimate late breaking news and be able to act on it when a large portion of people.
Yeah, he was only like 3 or 4% owned in the lineup that I had him in.
Yeah, I mean, he scores 2 touchdowns. I mean, the Rams have now played 2 games where they shocked the shit out of us, and they did against the 49ers here. Like, this was not the Seattle Seahawks. They really, really played well. Matt Stafford, I think we might have forgotten how good he is. Sean McVay, we've forgotten how good he is. I don't want to like overrate this, but that team is humming. That team can cook. And man, I mean, getting Kyren Williams in, I think if you were able to do that, awesome. Davis, you did a little bit. What about you, Nate? Like, what did you do with this news?
I didn't. I had a couple like game stacks of things that I really liked, and I really liked Rashad White and David Montgomery. And I thought their ownership was going to be low enough that I didn't like, I looked at getting Kyren Williams in, but it was like, it didn't feel like I was getting that much when I already felt good about those plays. If I didn't like David Montgomery and Rashad White as much as I did, I probably would have had more of him, but I felt so good about my running back positions in tournaments that I didn't feel the need to get him in.
Yeah. And I think the other thing was the matchup, right? It's real easy to see this late news and be like, well, he's playing San Francisco. Like, how good is he going to do? And yeah, like I said,
I really like that game though, so I probably should have had more of them.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to do it. I only did a couple tournament lineups. You know, like I like 3 tourney lineups. Like I didn't do a lot this week, but it was just like, man, I wish I'd gotten him in.
Yeah.
All right, Nate, do your team.
No, wait. Don't we save Nate for last? Because
that's you're right. You go first.
Yeah, Sammy. Yeah. Nate, you go last because you always just please the people with what you turn over. Okay. Of course I'm not ready. This is the lineup that I played in the spy, the $100 big spy. It was a pretty big, it was a pretty good lineup. Did pretty well. I played a Herbert Mike Williams stack with Derrick Henry bringing it back.
Nice. I loved Henry this week. I mixed him in a bunch.
Yeah. You know, I hate to like go like, so far toward narrative, you know, the run funnel, because the Titans are a pass funnel and the Chargers are a legitimate run funnel. But it was just like, man, like if these kind of things hold up, this is a smash for Henry in the running game. This is a smash for, the Chargers. So, you know, it didn't quite work out that great. You know, Henry had 80 yards and a touchdown. And Mike Williams didn't really get there. Herbert obviously did well. I also played Tony Pollard in this lineup. So I just thought Pollard was one of those guys that was going to kind of get missed.
I loved Pollard. Yeah.
Yeah. So I paid up at both running back spots. I played Henry and Pollard. And then at receiver, I played Williams with the stack. I played Christian Kirk, a straight up boss.
What,
you know,
what was he owned in the spy? I didn't have him in the spy. I had him in the red zone.
7.7%.
Yeah, dude, like which is 7% is still higher than like you'd want him to be if DFS was an efficient game, but it is still like those are the types of plays you can get away with, like where they're not super chalky.
Totally. And you know, it's kind of just trying to take advantage of the overreaction from last week. Obviously Kirk wasn't playing in 3 wide receiver sets last week. He didn't have a very good game, all that stuff, but the reality is I thought in a game against, this isn't the Colts, right? In a game against the Chiefs, where they're really going to have to score to keep up with the Chiefs. At least that was the thesis. We didn't think this would be a 17-9 game. You know, that would be a really good play. And also he offered direct leverage off of Ridley, who is going to be really widely owned. So I took a shot there. Then I did some more alpha shit. I played Josh Reynolds and Jaden Reed in this lineup. 2 touchdowns for each of them. Let's go. I also played Travis Kelce. So I mean, this was just a really unique build, right? Pay up at both running backs and then pay up at tight end.
And pay down at wide receiver when all the expensive wide receivers are stone chalk.
Exactly. And I also got the mini stack with Kirk and Kelce in there. And then I played the Cardinals defense. So this team scored 165. It tripled. It was like in the top 100 for some of the day, which was kind of cool. Had a little sweat, but didn't quite get there. But I must say, a well-crafted tournament team by me.
I love that for you. All right, Nate. Yeah,
way to go.
Give us the people. Give us what we need.
The spy lineup. All right. So what I played in the spy was a Josh Allen double. So I had Josh Allen, Diggs, and Dawson Knox.
As oh, Nate, double. Nate trying so hard to no ball. He's trying so hard. To
Dawson
no ball.
Knox as my double, and brought it back.
Nate, what was Dawson Knox owned? I have to know.
3.5%.
Wow. I would have gone under one.
I would have gone under on 0.35, correct. I think.
Oh, dude, I had him projected for like 7 or 8.
Yeah, let me just tell you, Nate. I had a Josh Allen double in a big money tournament too, but Gabe Davis, not trying to be results oriented, but Gabe Davis was essentially the Bills version of Christian Kirk. Like, you just capitalize on what happened in week one.
Yeah. So, and then I brought it back with Devontae. So, and then I had David Montgomery and Rashad White as my running backs. Had Josh Reynolds and Brandon Ayuk as my other wide receivers, and brought it, and then finished it off with Cardinals D. So, I mean, at half, I was feeling good. I mean,
yeah, Devontae I love
had
that.
The touchdown. These... Knox had the touchdown. Reynolds had the game. And I was like, and then Rashad White got in. Montgomery was looking like he was going to have 100 yards. I was feeling really good, and then it fell apart. I mean,
it's a little, so I'm always a little bit iffy. I know it can work, and especially in smaller field stuff, but you know, playing two uncorrelated players like Reynolds and Montgomery together, like, does that give you any pause, or were you just like, I love this game environment. I think they're both just massive values.
That's what it was. I really wanted more exposure to that game environment. And I thought that it was like the, It was a way to get exposure to that game environment with fading some of the ownership that I knew I was going to take on with Diggs, Devontae, and Allen. So needed to find some lower owned options, but I wanted exposure to that game. So I felt fine about it. And this Reynolds, is, this,
Reynolds. I was just going to say, this is tough, Nate, because this is actually a pretty good lineup.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Not what the people were hoping for. Like, Dawson no. Knox was definitely off the reservation. But then he scored a touchdown, so like,
yeah,
and he almost scored another.
And yeah, maybe he had one. He had Dawson Knox is still gonna get his work. I mean, him and Kincaid essentially play different positions. Like, to me, they're
Nate. I agree. That's why you should have played Kincaid over Musgrave.
No, you're a fish. Musgrave is a good play in cash.
Kincaid is just Jaden Reed, but on the Packers or on the Bills.
Kincaid's like one of six guys that Josh Allen can throw the ball to. Musgrave is like, no, in cash, Musgrave is the play. Like, this is, I cannot believe we're having this conversation.
Yeah, cool three targets, bro. That's awesome. Happy for you. Did he or did he not out-target Kyle Pitts?
Musgrave is the play in cash. I'm not going to argue with you guys on this. Like, Musgrave was the cash play.
You know, Nate, I know he projected better. I looked at the projections and, you know, it's a little more of a feel game sometimes. You just got to like go with your gut, and you got a no ball. And Dalton Kincaid was obviously the better play when we flipped the cards over. Like, that's the, we're not even like having a legitimate argument here.
Yeah. Musgrave will not be a cash play again if he's even in a shouting distance of Kincaid's salary. The optimizers will have fully bought in to Kincaid by next week.
God, I'm so happy we're having this argument about rookie tight ends. This is great. Let's go 2023 NFL. We're back.
We definitely just never have to talk about Kyle Pitts again though today. Cause Des,
I know. Ritter, what about Laporta though? Laporta is another rookie tight end who we can play soon. He's getting 6 targets a game.
Yeah. But I just want to make the point on the record that if you ever drafted Kyle Pitts because of me, I'm sorry, man. He got out targeted by Jonnu Smith today. Desmond Ritter threw the ball 37 times. Kyle Pitts had, I believe, 27 yards. It's just not, it's not happening.
Buddy, we have him on on our best ball team in the pentathlon, and now we're just hoping that Hunter Henry saves our
bacon.
Yeah,
but we have Hunter Henry, so it's fine. We have a top, yeah. We have a top 5 tight end.
Yeah, we Gucci.
Yeah.
You got to get Mac Hollins those air yards.
Mac Hollins had a touchdown called back by like kind of a ticky tack penalty. Like the idea that Mac Hollins is going to score more fantasy points than think Kyle Pitts is like pretty real.
Yeah, he will. Jeez, yeah. This is brutal. Kyle Pitts is down there.
It's not great.
Behind Mac Hollins, Drake London, and Jonas Smith.
It's not good. It's not what you
tough
want.
Scenes.
No, but Drake London's another one. Another one of those zero burger guys. Tyler Lockett, right? All these guys that did crappy last week, right? And it's just like, dude, these wide receivers, they have high variance. Like, you can't just, I don't know. I think Cardi was pounding the table for London this week.
Every week, London is the number one points per dollar guy in the blitz. Every week they're at home.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in the dome, obviously.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. Bad week for me. Sometimes you got to just pack it up and you know, live your truth. And I lived my shitty truth. I played bad this week. If you beat me, you were in the right. I did not deserve to win. I did not put out a good lineup. Can't
add
wait.
Add Davis Maddock.
Yeah.
Send me invites.
Send me games. I even got, I never get these. Normally I get like 10s and 20s and 50s. I got a 109 this week. Guy played a good team. Like, it wasn't like a Martian. Sometimes a Martian will send you a 109 and you'll be like, wait, this dude triple stacked Justin Fields. Like, what? It's happened. No, he just played a good team. He beat me. It is what it is. Can't help it. Yeah, we'll be back next week with Nate playing Dalton Kincaid in cash. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.